Thank you, Daryl. Okay, so this month, for the month of May, we're going to be talking about spiritual laws and principles and how to apply them in our lives. So today's message is entitled, How Deep Is Your Well? And I'd like to start with a quote from Sri Amma Bhagavan. She was the co-founder of the Oneness University over in India that promotes the Oneness Blessings. Some of you may have experienced that when Leroy Crockett came through. Sri Amma said, there are no prerequisites to experience grace other than a personal relationship with the divine. A personal relationship with the divine. So what does that mean, to have a personal relationship with the divine? That's something I'd like for us to think about a little bit together today. There are lots of opinions and advice out there about what that means. You can talk to anyone from a more fundamental background, and they will tell you exactly what you should say and think and do and experience in order to have this relationship with the divine. They'll tell you the party line of exactly what you should be thinking and doing. Now, when I use the term fundamental, I'm not excluding any of us from that. So don't get all pious. I'm not excluding any of us from that. We have fundamentalism in every group of people, because what it means is it's a strict adherence to a certain set of beliefs and the feeling that there's an in-group, those that adhere to those standards, and there's an out-group, those that don't, and they're lost and we have to save them and bring them back into our way of seeing things. So that puts an emphasis on purity and maintaining the literalism of the dogma, the creed, or the belief system. And this tendency results in a rejection of things that don't fit into that mold, and it is a detriment to diversity. Geneve read about unity and uniformity. Well, unity includes diversity, the diversity of expression. So when we understand it that way, there are fundamentalists in every single group. We can have new thought fundamentalists, people who think you have to think our way or you're doing it wrong. You have to be only healed by spiritual prayer, spiritual treatment, spiritual means. Anything else is just not okay. So that would mean if you were a fundamentalist New Thought person, you might reject medicine. You might reject surgery. You might reject anything, any kind of beliefs or dietary things. You might reject anything that doesn't fit into that particular little mold called spiritual mind treatment or spiritual healing. But it's actually much bigger than that. It's much bigger than that. So Christianity can have fundamentalism, certainly, but also so can Judaism, so can Buddhism, so can Hinduism, so can Islam. All of those can have fundamentalists that say, this is the way. This is the way you should do it. If you're not doing it this way, I've got to bring you in. I've got to bring you into the fold and teach you how to do it the right way. Well, even atheists can be fundamentalists. Have you ever thought about that? Atheists can be fundamentalists. They can say there is no such thing as religion. Anything that's spiritual is just superstitious. And they just paint a broad stroke against anybody who doesn't see things from their perspective. So we have to watch and make sure that we're being inclusive and realizing that there are many, many, many paths to any form of experience. And we have to allow each other that grace to be able to find their own personal experience of that. And the truth is that no one can define God for us. No one can do it for us. We are the only ones who can do that. Our relationship with the divine, by whatever name you want to call it, is personal. It's a personal experience, and we can never understand another person's experience, although we can be very happy that they have a relationship that's nurturing to them, and we can perhaps listen to them and share our ideas, but we can't change them, and they can't change us. And most of us get our hackles up a little bit if we feel somebody's trying to change us. So we don't want to be that way either. We don't want to think that we have the right diet, the right exercise plan, the right approach to life, the right anything that everybody else should follow, because that puts us in that category of of rejecting the diversity of life. So we each have our own numinous experience. That's a word that I want to introduce to you, perhaps. It was new to me a few years ago, and it's a lovely, lovely word. It's of Latin derivative, and it was first used in the 1700s by a German philosopher whose name was Rudolf Otto, and he wrote about that, and later it was taken on by Carl Jung and C.S. Lewis. So numinous means it's personal. It's personal to the individual, that it can't be shared or understood by anyone else. So have you ever had a dream that was just so astounding to you? It was just like a huge wake-up call. And you wake up and you've had this amazing revelation through this dream, and then you go and try to share it with somebody else. Have you ever had that? And they kind of look at you like, well, that's good, that's good. But they don't get it, do they? They don't have the same wow that you had, because it was for you. It was your numinous experience. Well, that's how the Creator is. That's how the source energy that flows through us is. It's unique to each one of us. Just like the snowflakes are all different, so we are each different. We each have our own numinous experience. And we celebrate that for each other and with each other. And all we can do is hope to be there in support of each other and be there as we awaken to this relationship with the divine that we each have. So source is always personal and individualized. It's always a numinous experience. And until we can accept that for ourselves and for other people, we're still being fundamentalist in our own ways. So if you've been told that God is angry or punishing or vindictive, perhaps you have been hearing someone else's experience or what they've been told or what was told to them. Because as we go down to the deepest part of our being, to that mystical aspect of our being, we find that God, that experience of source energy, is love. It is always love. That's what the mystics of every faith path tell us, that God is love. Now, on the outer edges, we have people with all these idealistic ideas and these dogmas, these creeds, and that's what wars with each other. That's what gets into the problems. As you go deep, as you go deeper and deeper and deeper, the mystics all speak the same language, the language of love. So as we find out how deep we can go, we can connect with that spirit, and we don't have that trauma on the outside. We don't have those warring factions going on, because we're connected to that deeper source within us. So a Christian might say, Jesus touched me and I was healed. They are absolutely right. That was their experience. A Buddhist may say, I followed the path of Buddha and I became enlightened. They're also equally right. A mathematician might say, oh, I saw this beautiful mathematical equation. I understand life now. It's beautiful. They are also right. So we want to respect and honor all of the different ways that we can be open to the awe and the wonder and the majesty of life as it moves through each of us. So it can apply to anything. And we have to remember not to get involved in someone else's experience and trying to tell them that they need to do it our way. So promise you won't do that anymore. Even if it works perfectly for you, it doesn't mean it's right for them. So be aware of that and honor everyone's path. So as we go through the experience of life, it can feel like being sort of adrift on the ocean at times. You know, the ocean can have waves and it can have storms and things that just are very disruptive. But if you go down deeper into the ocean, it's always still and quiet and calm. Those storms are not happening down deep in the ocean. That's where we find the calm and the peace. And it's the same thing with us. The storms are only on the exterior, the place of the ego, as we call it in Course in Miracles, the place of the active mind, the mind that's discerning and comparing and shaming and blaming and feeling guilty. That's all that's happening there. But as we go deeper, we find that peace within, just like in the ocean. I'll never forget the first time I went snorkeling. Marvin and I were living in Puerto Rico. Margie's from Puerto Rico, so she'll recognize some of this. We were at a resort area called Serramar and Dorado Beach up on the northwest part of the island. And we were sitting there, and it was just beautiful. Oh, and Charles is from Puerto Rico, too. Yes. So we were sitting, and it was beautiful. The palm trees were there, and it was a cool breeze, and the ocean, the water was just a beautiful teal green color. Now, this was some of the most beautiful beaches in the world. I mean, you just can't even imagine until you've seen it. It's as beautiful as the French Riviera and as our own Panama City Beach is. And so we were enjoying the beautiful beaches and looking and in just sipping something, I'm sure, some kind of adult beverage, I'm sure. And so it was a lovely experience. And then somebody suggested, why don't we go snorkeling? Great, I'd never done that. So I fitted my mask and got my snorkel up so I could go under. And when I went under the water, it was breathtaking. I couldn't believe what was under the water. These schools of yellowfish and purplefish and orangefish were just swimming around. It was like this magical place that I had no idea was even there. But I had to be fitted. I had to go under and look, and then I could see. I had to open my eyes and see. The Bible tells us the fields are already white with harvest. It's already there. Everything is there. I had a similar experience a couple years prior to that when I was living in Southern California. I took a class on meditation. It was my first exposure to meditation, and our teacher gave us the instructions at the first class, and she told us, now go home and find a place where you can sit quietly and go within and go into meditation. So after I got the kids down for their afternoon naps, I sat down in my chair and I followed her instructions, and I went within to that quiet place, and I had this absolutely magnificent experience, just breathtaking, of finding this love, this place of absolute love and connection that I had never experienced before. Now, it didn't just show up inside of me. It was already there, but I was not aware that it was there. I didn't know that it was there, but when I was aware that it was there and I went within to the depths of my being, I found this magnificent experience. So that's what I want to tell you about, that you have a deep, deep well within you, a deep place within you that is always there awaiting your recognition of it, waiting your time to connect with it. We each have that. It's part of our spiritual journey, and our challenge is to know it and then connect with it and continue to do that on a permanent basis so that pretty soon we feel that connection in every experience of our lives. Everywhere we go, we see the face of God in every person, in every experience, in everything that's happening in our lives. So the storms of life can seem pretty big at times. They can toss us around on the surface. They can feel like they're going to pull our little boats under at times. And we can go deeper and find that peace within us over and over again. So even if your life is looking pretty good right now, I was enjoying that beach. I wasn't having any problems that day on the beach, but when I went under, I found a whole new magical place. The same is true for you. Even if your life's going pretty well right now, there's still more. There's this delightful place that you can find as you learn to tune into it and go within. Joel Goldsmith is one of my teachers. Joel Goldsmith has written a lot, 35 or so books on connecting with God. And I love the way he writes. Now, I like to read his books because I like to read of his experiences because it inspires that within me. I can't have his experience. I can have my own. And his writing helps me to tune into that. Here's something that he said in a book called The New Healing. It's a couple paragraphs that I'd like to share with you. He said, spiritual healing is the result of the direct contact of an individual with the center of his consciousness. When we touch this place within our own being, healing naturally follows. If someone has asked for help, that one receives the healing. No words, treatment, arguments, affirmations, or denials are necessary in spiritual healing. The only requirement is that we become still, that silences the outer senses and go deeper within our own being until we feel ourselves at the center of consciousness. Then a contact is made. A feeling within us becomes evident, and we know that the healing has been accomplished. The search for a power outside ourselves ceases as we realize our oneness with God. We rely more and more on the divinity of our own being to govern, protect, and maintain us. We learn to turn to the kingdom of God within us for all of our needs, and in proportion as we stop looking to persons, circumstances, or situations for our good, does the infinite good of God unfold from within our own being. No longer do we find it necessary to rely on any outside source for health or wealth, nor even look to a divine love somewhere outside ourselves to meet our human needs. Divine love is the very soul of our being. Joel Goldsmith. So, how deep is this well within us? How big is our God? It's our lifelong journey to find out, to keep revisiting that, to keep going deeper, to keep making that connection. So I encourage you to invite the divine into your life this week. Think of the divine as a beloved friend that can always be with you. I was sharing in Course in Miracles today that I'm taking a class on prayer. And in the first lesson, or second lesson, she told us about this little acronym called HELP. You know, when we pray, what we're asking for on some level is help. We're asking for help. We want to feel peaceful. We want to find our connection. We want to have our healing. We want something. We're needing help. So we can put our hand on our heart and use the acronym HELP. Hello, Eternal Loving Presence. Hello, Eternal Loving Presence. It brings us back to this very moment, this now moment. We're not ever going to find God from the past. We're not ever going to find God in the future. We can only find God in the now. So put your hand on your heart and say with me, hello, Eternal Loving Presence. We can do that several times a day, and it brings us back to that connection, back to that over and over until it becomes just an automatic response. So we can know that we have that beloved presence within us that can show up as a mentor, as a friend, as an ascended master, as a guide, an angel of some sort, something that gives us that assurance. So our affirmation for today is, God is the only power in my life. Nothing from without can touch the perfect life of God within me. I am a perfect child of God. Will you read that with me?
God is the only power in my life. Nothing from without can touch the perfect life of God within me. I am a perfect child of God.
So it is. So I'd like to close with a meditation today. So I'd like to invite you to get comfortable and close your eyes. Jennifer, would you mind turning off the lights for us so that I think one goes up and one goes down. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Okay, so close your eyes if it's comfortable for you to do that. And imagine right now that you're standing at the edge of a well. It's a very, very large well. And it has a bucket in it, ready to be lowered down. The bucket is so big and the well is so big that it will hold you and a special friend. So invite someone to ride in the bucket with you. Perhaps a spiritual mentor. Maybe Jesus. Maybe Buddha. Maybe a guardian angel. An ascended master. Someone you feel very safe and comfortable with. With both of you now standing in the bucket, you give a little tug on the rope and it's slowly lowered down into the well. It's just the right temperature in the well, just the right humidity, and the bright light at the top provides just enough light for you to tell where you're going and what's going on around you. You're holding hands with your special friend, and you feel very, very safe. There's soft music echoing off the sides of the well. After what seems like a very long time, or maybe it was just an instant, you see shimmering light below you, and the bucket comes to a stop, floating on the water your bucket has found. You look into the water, and you find it shimmering with golden light. It's very clean and clear, and it's warm to the touch. You feel that you would like to take a drink of this, so you put your hands together and make a little dipper and scoop up some water and drink of this water at the bottom of the well. It moves inside of you like a healing balm. You become a radiating center of light through this water that you have ingested. You decide to step out of the bucket into the shimmering gold water, immersing yourself in it. You realize that this water is actually liquid love that you have encountered. You totally immerse yourself in this liquid love, even rubbing it over your head and your hair. Every part of you is completely covered with this liquid love. It soaks in through the cells in your skin and permeates all of your organs, permeates your brain, your eyes, your ears, all of your internal organs and joints, every function of your body. Your physical body is bathed in love. Your emotional body is saturated with love. Your mental body is imbued with pure love. It vibrates through you. You are pure love. Your outer form seems to disappear, and you are the very essence of pure love. You look over at your companion, and they too are pure love. Places within you that previously felt fearful or dark or anxious or in pain right now are just radiating love. You bask in this love for a long, indeterminate period of time. It feels like forever, but it's condensed into just a few moments. Let's sit together and bask in that love for a few moments. And now you step back into your bucket with your divine companion. You're still shimmering and radiating love. And with a little tug on the rope, you begin the slow ascent back up to the top. But you're changed. You're healed. For you found the wellspring of your being. And you know that that wellspring is pure love. As you get to the top of the well, you and your companion step out of the bucket, seeing love everywhere you look. Now, when you're ready, open your eyes and continue to see love everywhere you look. And remember that this well is always there for you. You can return to it and re-enter it anytime you'd like. And so it is.